Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening to Blue Hardwood. The podcast is brought to you by the Big Heads Media Group. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to rate and review the show. Now without further ado, here's the dynamic duo who've had more playoff wins in 14 years than the Sacramento Kings, Lauren and Brian.
Thank you, Billy, for the fantastic introduction, as always. So, as always, we kind of went a little longer than initially, so we've decided to separate our trade episodes that we recently did. Lauren obviously threw out a couple recent articles on Mavs Moneyball, so if you haven't heard the trade proposals the Mavericks should look into, that was fun. We kind of went on and on about John Collins, Luke Kennard, really fun conversation. Now we're looking at four potential trades the Dallas Mavericks should not target in the offseason in general. But prior to doing that, as always, we got to check in on Lauren and see how she's doing.
How you doing?
I am doing good. The weather is still fantastic. I'm just thriving in the fall weather. So yeah, no complaints.
Is it too early to have Christmas lights up? Because, man, in our neighborhood, they're already decked out, balls to the wall.
Wow.
It is kind of strange to see, like, hardcore Halloween inflatables and then Christmas lights at night.
That's hilarious. You know, I think it might be a little too early for the Halloween – the Christmas. That's – I'm gonna have to say that's a little bit too much. I know a lot of people do choose to do their Christmas decorations the day after Thanksgiving, and I'm all for that because Once Thanksgiving is gone with, love Thanksgiving, but it's Christmas time. It is Christmas time. So, but right now it's not even November. So I'm just going to have to, people need to maybe pump the brakes there a little bit, but at the same time, I get it. Cause Christmas is, it's a big deal. So fair, but maybe wait till at least the 11th month of the year.
Yeah. I mean, even if you did it, maybe that week of Thanksgiving, even before Thanksgiving, I think I might give you a little pass on that. And I don't know. It's just weird right now. I think everybody just wants to go all out maybe with Christmas a lot more with everything going on right now. And I get, I was kind of surprised the HOA allowed that, but I guess this year is going to be just a year where nobody really cares, because usually there's like particular rules on, hey, you can only hang up your lights between this time and this time, and you have to take them up down by this time. So I don't know. I was kind of thrown off a little bit because I drove home one night and I was like, oh, okay, we already got the Christmas lights up. And
Yeah.
But all right. So I'm ready to actually look at these trades that the Mavericks should avoid in the offseason. And I think a lot of these that you proposed, Lauren, have been people that I think we've talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think Bleacher Report has definitely been hot and heavy on a lot of these names too. I know we've discussed in depth at least two of them, if not all four. But wherever you want to start, I think I'm ready to start with Buddy Hield first, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, let's do it. You just tell me which one and we will break them down.
Okay. Buddy Hield, I think this was a guy that we talked about a couple weeks ago, did we not?
Probably. So Buddy, I don't know. I like him as a player. I don't think he's your third piece. I think he can do a little. I don't even know. I feel like Sacramento might even view him a little. Like, they might even value him for him. And what is he making? 19?
So
20. He's in the 20s, isn't he? His extension.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. See, that's going to be a no for me. I think your third star at that $20 million mark is a good number. But I think the numbers you get from Tim Hardaway Jr. are going to be pretty similar to what you're going to get from Buddy Hield. And I think most people would agree that Tim Hardaway Jr., we like him. But as far as your third piece, your third star, you can do a little bit better.
You've already heard this, the contract. It was 4 years, $94 million.
Yeah, sorry. That's going to be a big fat no for me.
Now, with his contract, it was a little bit more front loaded and it was going down as each year goes, comes. So this year he made $24 million. Now he's making 22, 20, and 18 the rest of the way. But man, I don't know. I like Buddy Hield. And is it okay to just cop out and say, you know, Sacramento has broken him and Luke Walton's just like a buffoon, doesn't know how to do anything?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, going all the way back to our conversation with TJ, where she talked about the frustrations with the organization and how it is so hard just watching it year after year, because from the top down, it just doesn't really seem like there are any good decisions being made. So I think it's always fair to say teams that maybe don't have the best organizational stability.
Culture.
There's always going to be some effects going on there where maybe when you get into a situation where things are a little bit different, you know, you might do a little bit better. But I personally, I don't know. Again, it's not the type of thing that I want to sign up for and then wait and see if it works out. You know what I mean? That's the type of thing where if you're going to be committing that much money to your third star, I want it to be, you know, I don't know. I want it to be a for sure thing. And I know, this is kind of completely off topic, but I know, well, never mind. I'll wait till we get there. Till we get there. I'll just leave it at that.
Now, hypothetically, going back to our previous episode where we talked about trades that the Mavericks should be looking at. Now, if you had to pay somebody that much money, like you're obviously paying Luke Kennard that much money, because I feel like with Kennard, you could justify that.
With Buddy Hield money?
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know. I don't want to be paying Luke Kennard north of $20 million.
No, I agree. But if you had to like swallow that pill, I think you could justify and talk yourself. So. Yeah.
As far as from a growth standpoint, I feel like people might disagree with that and that's fine. But Buddy Hield, I think has like people when he came out of Oklahoma, I think people were very high on him, obviously, and being involved in that Cousins trade, which is crazy to think about. But I don't think he's quite lived up to the hype. And then obviously our conversation that we just had with Kennard, him being from Duke, obviously Duke's a huge program, but hearing the way people talk about Kennard and his growth, I do think that he's got more. And that might be crazy to say. People might be like, you're higher on Luke Kennard than Buddy Hield. But, I mean, I would be more open to the idea of Luke Kennard than Buddy Hield. I do not like the thought of paying someone a bunch of money that isn't necessarily living up to the hype or isn't as proven as maybe they should be.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong. So that game and the bubble – where the Mavericks barely beat Sacramento. Wasn't Buddy Hield on the bench?
Oh, God. Personally, I can't remember, but I do remember during the season when they were struggling with the Bogdan Buddy Hield situation, they decided to start Bogdan and bench Buddy, which I don't think went over very well.
No, it did not, and that's – I'm trying to just really look at his situation and how Sacramento has just bungled this entire experiment with him. And I don't want to say he's broken. And maybe this is a conversation where we need to get a Sacramento Kings expert on. And I think that's going to be something that we do now, because this is really a fascinating development. Because how could you pay the guy almost $100 million and just have him ride the pine? That's
crazy.
That's ridiculous, because I know he's not that bad. And I know Sacramento's lineup is kind of weird because, well, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Let's go down this rabbit hole real quick. Why not? Look at what's happening with Harry Giles. Like some people,
that's a great example,
are trying to say, you know, this guy has like John Collins type potential. He just hasn't, you know, injuries and everything like that. And Sacramento has just not I don't know, done anything with them. And now essentially it looks like he's just going to walk straight up. Cause I think he's a free agent, right? Let's see.
Yeah, he is. He's, I want to say he's, I was trying to think of if he's restricted. And I don't know. I don't know if he is, but I do know that he is a free agent. Yes.
Okay. So Harry Giles. Yes. So he's a straight up free agent. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't really know what Harry Giles' market is. Mind you, he's only going to be, he's 22 right now. So he's still a baby. So April, he'll be 23. So he has not figured out anything yet. But again, this could be the simple excuse of Sacramento just being a shithole where you can't develop and thrive in because they just can't get out of their own way and really sit down and develop a plan. So I'm just saying, like, there's obviously a pattern here with these type of players where there's no way a guy like that from Buddy Hield, because he was such a good player in OU. And I was like, dude, this guy is going to be so good. And, you know, obviously Sacramento had hopes and admiration where he was going to continue to bomb. And now he's riding on the bench in the fourth quarter, not playing at all because Luke Walton's just a complete moron. So I'm just saying, like, there's a track record here of stupidity from Sacramento, and I'm really excited about this Sacramento Kings pod that we're going to have eventually because we're going to look at Harry Giles, and oh my God, I'm intrigued, but I'm getting off track. I'm sorry. But
no, you bring up a good point because say Dallas makes that move and you go get Buddy Hield for, I mean, again, I'm not a huge fan of the move, but say, let's go down a timeline. You get Buddy Hield for a reasonable price. And I can't think of it right now what it would look like in my head, but you get him for a reasonable price. You bring him in. He's making, you know, the front loaded. I love front loaded contracts.
Yes.
He's making that amount. And he comes in, you put him in a new system. He gives you great scoring next to Luka. He's still pretty young and he brings something to the table. And at that point he does become a pretty decent third piece and does give you a little bit more than Tim Hardaway did. Well, then maybe you just hit the lottery and that speaks to your organizational stability, your ability to hire and retain good coaches and building a team that complements each other's skill sets. That I feel like is a possibility. Like I'm not going to say, Buddy Hield is going to turn into to Bradley Beal, but he could come in and you can't discount or disregard the Luka effect. You just don't know. And so the reason that I say just looking at it at face value that I'm not a huge fan of the trade is because I don't let you say, we said it the other day, hope is not a strategy. So that's where I'm like, it's a gamble. But same time, if you do take that gamble and you can get him at a reasonable price and you feel like you can make use out of him and help him continue to grow, well, I mean, if that's the route that they want to go, I don't know. I'll be a little nervous about it because it makes things hard moving forward with the cap situation. But again, I always come back to whatever move. I never find myself, with the exception of the Harrison Barnes trade, that one hurt because I just love Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. But I understood it from a financial perspective. And look where we are now. What I was going to say is with the exception of that trade, every single trade that Dallas makes, I am always on board with. Like in the past, I did not like when we would always trade our picks because I would always just want to – I love the draft stuff, but there aren't many trades that they make that I'm like, that was an awful trade. What, like, who is running this ship? So if they go out, make the trade for CJ McCollum, give him $100 million over the next 3 years, I'm going to say this is the move that they think, you know, we're not moving forward with hope as a strategy going into 2021. We think that this is what it is. And I will put my faith in them. And if that's what they decide, well, then I will buy into it, even if that ends up being Buddy Hield. So, yeah, again, I have my reservations and I think that they're valid. And I don't know. I think that they have more, I guess, substance to them. But again, I don't know. I keep coming back to whatever they do, I'm on board with. if that makes sense. I know that's kind of like counterintuitive, but that's where I'm at.
And I was going to say, maybe the king, well, Bloody Devots is not there anymore, so, which is a bummer. So you would think that they would not be that incompetent in the front office. But if you're taking that money off their books, and let's say they're going to redistribute that in Bogdanovich, I say, hey, you know what? I'm doing you a favor. Because, you know, this guy, if you're done with this guy and you don't want him, I'll take him. But I need a little bit more. Because I think the base deadline that works perfectly is Hardaway for healed straight up. But I might say, hey, dude, I want your 12th pick. Give it. You want me to take this money? I need a sweetener.
I think that is very reasonable. And I think if you're Sacramento looking at the guys available – how much do you value that 12th pick, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't even think there's any pick swapping. I say, Sacramento, you want this, you give me this 12th pick right now. Like, does that entice you anymore?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
well, okay, hold on. That's hard. I gotta reel it back because I love the draft stuff.
Okay.
I just love draft stuff. So you're saying Tim Hardaway Jr., for Buddy Hield in the 12th pick.
Yes. There's no pick swaps. I'm asking for a lot. And again, on paper, I don't think Sacramento does this, but you're doing them a favor. You're taking that money off the books because
yeah, it's a good point.
They're in love with Bogdanovich because, you know, if you don't like Tim Hardaway Jr., he walks and then you could still redistribute that money to Bogdanovich. And it, mm-hmm. really, is there a guy that you're that in love with? And then, maybe they also, that frees them up to really try to make a commitment to Harry Giles too. Like, you know, because here's the thing. So they got a pair. I don't know if you looked at this when you were thinking about this trade. They got to pay Darren Fox soon.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
I just have to stop you right there. You remember the other day when we were talking about rookies that are going to turn down those contracts? I think that might just be the first one.
Yeah. So
anyway, keep going.
Yes. So I'm just saying, so he's got an opt out. Like there's a team opt out, obviously for this year, it's not going to happen. And then there's a opt out qualifying offer. So they got to give him the super duper mega max. And then they only really have two more years to figure out what the hell is going on for Marvin Bagley. So,
yeah, that Marvin Bagley is no situation to like just skate over, because if he cannot stay healthy, you're in a predicament. You are in a predicament, and so I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do there. I don't think they're in any hurry to move on from Bagley. In fact, I tweeted something the other day because I think I was looking at a trade scenario and it involved Marvin Bagley, and I had a Kings person, you know, come for my neck, which is fine. But you were so high on Marvin Bagley, you took him over Luka Doncic. So the dude can't stay healthy. You know, that you got a problem there. What are you going to – Darren Fox's clock is ticking, and I know some people. Oh, I also have to say this. I know some people are like, Darren Fox bust. I don't agree with that. Yeah, I don't agree with that whatsoever. Like there was a point in time when I think people were like, oh my God, Darren Fox is just like, he's out there. He's so quick. He's fantastic. He's doing a little bit of everything. He's great. But then I feel like some people, I don't know. I feel like people have done a 180, and I'm just, I don't know. I keep seeing lists of like rank these point guards from 1 to 4, and people are always like Darren Fox 4. And I'm like, okay, well, are we really so quick to just anyway? So, but if you're Sacramento, you've got to be very smart, like you said, with how you handle things moving forward, because if you don't do it correctly, what are you going to pitch to De'Aaron Fox? And I've said this before. I think we both agree that letting Harry Giles walk, are you so sure that that's what you want to do? Mm-hmm. If like you got Bielitsa, you got Rashawn Holmes. I believe they also have Alex Len, but you've got to be careful, because if Marvin Bagley can't stay healthy, none of those guys on that team can do what Harry Giles can do. I know he was barely getting on the floor for them, but he is so skilled, at least in my opinion. And I just, I think that that is a bad move for them to let him go. But shoot, if he's out there, I'll take him. But yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do. But as far as, you make a great point, I know Buddy Hield might have some, like, across the league, people might look at him and say he's a better player than Tim Hardaway Jr. But if you're taking on that money, I think it's a great point of saying you're going to have to attach something. Say it's even Tim Hardaway Jr. in the 31st pick for the 12th pick in Buddy Hield. You know, I think that's, you know, you're, I think that's maybe if that's what you got to do to, I guess, I don't know, even if, I don't know if they want, if they're like not really, if they at least want some pick or something like that. I want to say that they have a second round as well, but the moral of the story is if you're going to want to do kind of a swap for a similar type player and one has a much, much more significant contract than the other, then yeah, I think absolutely you're going to have to be the one that adds the sweetener.
Yes, because here's the thing. The Mavericks are doing you a favor, bro. So you're going to have to overpay a little bit and fix
right.
You're going to have about 4 to 5 years of DevOps, like F-up, like the fix yep. and recalibrate everything that you're going to do. And the best thing about that, Lauren, before we move on from this awesome topic that we just came up with, really, just all these extra pieces here.
Breaking down the Kings 101. Yeah,
so you've got 12 and 18. So you could you could easily take both of those and move up. Or you could just say, you know, Bay out of Villanova at 12, give me. And then at 12, if you wanted to maybe take a riskier pick, whether that be a guy like Puka Chesky, Cole Anthony, somebody, or Maxi, perfect, done. That's a killer draft. And now you probably definitely want, if you're getting healed, I think A would be your first option if you moved up to 12. And then at 18, I say the best player, best fit available. Like whether they think it's Puka or Josh Green. Like, yeah, just imagine you get Bay and Josh Green. So that's what I'm saying. So I'm going to throw that out there and I may get shelled at, but I'm just saying, like, I'm going to present the argument. Hey dude, we're doing your favor. This is not a nice Al-Farouq Aminu for Delon Wright trade where it worked out for anybody. My friend, if you want this money off your books, you've got other people you really need to decide and pay. And I don't really know the new general manager's like thoughts. I don't know what his background is. He like a buffoon or not? Maybe he's going to fit that moniker, but I'm just saying that's something to really think about.
I do think people are going to say, just immediately at first look at that trade scenario, they're going to be like, no, if you're Dallas, you need to offer more for Tim. If you're giving Tim and you're wanting Buddy Hield back, you need to give more. But I think the main thing is the money. So yeah, I think people would be, when you first look at it, you can't just say, oh, this is my immediate reaction. I think you got to really think about the effects, the long-term effects of what that situation really looks like.
Oh yeah. 100%. All right, let's move on. We've talked about this guy several times, I think, especially during the pandemic when it was really hot and heavy. This was a guy that we looked at who was very controversial at the start of this NBA season, no doubt. Rudy Gobert. I think a lot of people have been fascinated by this idea, but I think a consensus like thought between me and you, we're both out, right?
Yeah, I personally am not. I don't want that. I like him as far as like the defense and the rebounding, but I think the league has shown, I know some people, I was reading the comments to this article, and I know some people were like Twin Towers, you know, this and that, and I just,
it's as a much different as time, I, man.
It you is a different time. You can't do that. You're going to get just obliterated on switches and on dribble drives. Like it, oh God. So I would try so hard to hold on to the traditional, Twin Towers type concept, because I remember even when the Pelicans were rolling out Anthony Davis and Boogie back when, before Boogie was like so just struggling broken with injuries. Yeah, pretty much. I was like, man, this is going to be nuts. 'Cause I liked it. I liked the Twin Towers concept. the league is just not there anymore. And I don't want to just, I keep throwing out the Pacers as a comparison and how Sabonis and Turner, who can both score from inside and outside, just doesn't work. You just can't do that. And Rudy Gobert can't stretch the floor. I know he's a great lob target with Donovan Mitchell, and somebody else said Gobert doesn't clog the lane for Donovan Mitchell, so that's nothing to worry about. But I just think it's going to be a different situation if he's here in Dallas, and I think rolling out 2 7-foot bigs, I don't think that's going to work. I think you would be better off going to get, you know, kind of that 6'9" frame that I keep referring to. I think that's your best bet.
Yeah. Okay. So Gobert may not like clog the lanes for Mitchell, but they also don't have a KP in their starting lineup. You know what I mean? That's a completely different math problem to that equation. So as much as fun fantasy basketball as that would be, and having Gobert just like destroy people in the pick and roll with Luka, which would be amazing and fun, it just, yeah, like, people would switch and destroy, like they would pick on them both so much. And not only that, you have to pay Gobert money. And I'm out on that. I'm really not. I can talk myself and justify like paying Buddy Hill like $94 million. I can't justify backing up the truck for Gobert, because it just does not make sense. Because so he's got $24 million. Oh, no, I'm sorry. So this coming season, he's making $25 million, and then he's a free agent. Nope, not interested at all.
Yeah, no. We don't need to be tying up $50 million in the front court. That's going to be a no for me.
No. If KP was not here, yes, absolutely, you do that. If KP is not here. But presently, that just does not make sense at all. The way to go is more that traditional frame of that 6'9", 6'10" guy, similar to Maxey and Powell, where they can do a little bit of everything. It's just, that's too much girth in the lanes. That's not even basketball hips. That's just wide, long frames in the lane. And that's not going to help Luka. Like, that's right. Not, I'm sorry. Offensively, yeah, it would be fun as hell to watch. And understanding that spacing and everything like that, but no, it would be a mess on the defensive end, and the Mavericks would give up probably 130 points a game.
Yeah, because I mean, the interior presence, the shot blocking, I'm all here for that, but Porzingis gives you plenty of shot blocking, and you do need somebody with, you said it yourself, the basketball hips. That's just, I don't know, we don't need another long frame. We don't need length. We need some basketball hips, bruiser kind of mentality. Is, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Yep. All right, so we will say nay to you, Rudy Gobert. Sorry. Now, I guess this would be the most, I guess, debatable one, where it would be, I could see a lot of people getting in some intense basketball arguments about CJ McCollum. So I don't know. I really don't know. You previously made a great argument in our previous conversation. Do you want to commit to have your third best player essentially making $100 million? Now, I feel like I can justify the Kennard thing a little bit if he's making $80 million. And then I guess in theory, Buddy Hield would be your third best player in, you know, on paper, and he's making $94 million. But in that, again, proposal, we're getting a sweetener added, where I think in this scenario, the Mavericks wouldn't be really getting said asset back like that.
Yeah. The thing about the CJ situation, and I feel like I kind of either started to say it earlier or said it earlier. CJ would be a fantastic third piece with this team. Like, he, as far as the secondary ball handler, the scoring, like, he would be fantastic. It really just comes down to the money. So you kind of have to ask yourself, if we're doing this, do we think we can make it to the finals with CJ, Luka, and KP? Because that is what you're committing to. That is that's your move. And if that's the case, I mean, the Trailblazers made it to the Western Conference Finals with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. So I absolutely think there's an argument that you could make it there with that being your group. However, what at that point, what do you have? Like, what does the rest of your roster look like moving forward? How much money do you have to work with to shape out the rest of your roster, give you some supporting defense, some other shooters? What does that look like? And to be honest, you do have to ask yourself if you can get some of those, if there are people that are going to want to hop on board and take a pay cut for a trip to the finals, not that it's that easy, but on a team that looks very promising, that's where you might find yourself in a situation where you're no longer the team that's overpaying for people to come. You're the team that now is the ship that a lot of people might want to be on, and you could get away with underpaying some guys. So if that's the situation, you know, I'm okay with that, I guess, but I'm very hesitant to pay him that much money because, again, third piece, $100 million over 3 years, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. So I go back and forth. Like, how sure, for the people that are like, yes, why would you not want CJ McCollum? He's perfect. You have to understand that that is the move that you're making, and you don't really have, like, you're not going to have a whole lot of options after that. To bring in any other pieces. So if you are so high on CJ McCollum, can you say with certainty or at least a significant amount of confidence that that trio is going to get you to the finals? Because it's not, oh, can we make a deep playoff run with that team? That is your move with Luka and Porzingis. That's your third piece. Do you feel that? And I don't know if people can say with absolute certainty that, yes, we can make it to the finals with those three.
Yeah, and the tricky thing is putting a package together that the Blazers would even consider. I mean, I think on paper, I'm messing with it right now, you could do something to the fact of CJ with Jalen and Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, money-wise, that works out pretty good. Now, the Blazers do have a lot of wings that didn't have, like, they were hurt, banged up last year. They've got Rodney Hood coming back, Trevor Ariza, players like that. So they would definitely probably want a little bit more help on the guard side. I think, like, Tim Hardaway Jr., that would be a nice fit for what they have. But, I mean, I don't even think – I bet you would have to do Jalen and Tim – the picks this year and probably something down the road in 2022 at minimum. And I don't even think, I don't know if that gets it done.
I don't know. Like, I think the Blazers are very high on McCollum. I think they really like him as a person on and off the court, everything that he's done for the organization. So I don't know if Tim Hardaway Jr. and Brunson is going to be enough. You know, I think that they would feel like that is a significant step back. The point I was trying to make is, how much are you willing to give up for something that might not be like a sure bet? I know we keep, like, I don't want to keep bringing up the Giannis situation because I don't feel like that's a good example, but the point I'm trying to make is people feel like if you're adding someone like Giannis or Bradley Beal, that's like multiple titles is what some people would say. If you add someone like CJ McCollum, who, don't get me wrong, I love him, Art, can you say with certainty that you can get even one? I don't know that. I don't know if you can say that for sure. So that's why I'm like, you cannot sell me on that much of a money commitment for something that is, you know, possible. That's just where I'm at.
And we keep on having the same problem. We keep on getting, we don't need to get smaller on this roster. We keep on getting smaller. And that's the thing. CJ is a dude. He's a bad dude, but he's 6'3". And I think you can never have too much shooting on this roster. And CJ's personality wise, he's great. I think it's a bad rap that he, for some reason, has still never made an all-star team. Like, that still boggles my mind. Right. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
that you're going to be pretty, it's going to be a haul to get it done. You're trading at least a third away of your roster, and that is it. And the thing is, if that does not work, you might be kind of fucked, like, in the nicest way possible, because that's it. This is your team, and then you got to hope you can get some KCPs and some Carusos and people like that, where you can find and it's cheap, because right. you're pretty much going all in with that. So
yeah, you are going all in on that. And if that doesn't work out, like you said, you are in a bad spot, because who is going to want to, I mean, you're going to have some bidders for CJ McCollum right now. Don't get me wrong, but I think they're going to kind of run into the same situation of, oh, 30 million. That's a little steep. You're going to run into that same problem, but, shoot, what was I going to say? My mind is blanking. My mind is blanking. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I don't even know. I had a good point too. It's killing me.
It'll come back.
Oh, well, maybe it'll come back to me. We'll just keep going.
Yes, but a very strong no for me on that. This has been a guy that's been floating out there, and this is the last guy Lauren has proposed on her article piece, where it was, again, for potential trades the Mavericks should avoid: Gordon Hayward. I can't. The guy can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's as simple as that for me.
I don't really think there's that much to that. And you can say, okay, if you're looking at 2021, this fits within that, you know, what you're trying to do there, if you're trying to, you know, pitch somebody. But no. It just, he could do a lot of different things, but I think after the Celtics got eliminated, I think Bill Simmons did a really good job deep diving on Hayward as like a player and going over everything with them. And I just, him and Vassello did a great job of like going over his career, what he's been able to do. I cannot. And I have no interest in that contract or that injury history. No.
Yeah. And I know Tyler Adams and I have talked about this one several times, and I know he's all on the Gordon Hayward train. I know he likes the what he can give you, whether off the bench, or I don't think he wants him to come off the bench, but, and I don't know that he would, but I mean, the shooting numbers, like he can give you some support on the offensive end, but I think you need to prioritize defense, and that mm-hmm. is all saying if he even is able to play. So I know he's only got 1 year left making that $30 million, but I don't know what the value is on him from Boston's standpoint, but I'm not willing to give up a whole lot for Gordon Hayward to bring him in to play what? How many games a year? 30, 40? And is he going to show up and give you 15 every single one of those games? No, I think you can go get that offense somewhere else. I really am not a fan of the Gordon Hayward trade. Between the injuries, he's a little bit older than the current group that we've got. Yeah, I hate that the guy can't stay healthy, because, you know, that just sucks. But as far as who, if you want to go out and make trades to try and build a winning team, I don't think you need to sign yourself up for someone who's making $30 million in their final year and cannot even really stay on the floor.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm not paying somebody $30 million to come off the bench. No, I'd rather keep DeLon Wright for that. Like, if I'm going to just overpay somebody off the bench that I'm not going to get like high level production for, I'd rather have DeLon Wright. And I might get rocks thrown at me for that, but just in terms of everything that we just laid out, I have no interest. Like, I'm sorry, I don't. Boston could give us every draft pick imaginable in this coming draft, I would still say no. Like, they could give us all their draft picks just to take him, and I would probably still say no.
Just yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. Because, again, I know people talk about the scoring, but say you get him and you put him in the starting lineup. I mean, good God, the defense it's already not the best. And so that is just a terrible idea. And so the alternative, again, bringing him off the bench, no. $30 million to go off the bench. And I know Tyler always says, okay, well, you can bring him back on like a very cheap deal because the injuries are very clear. So you can probably bring him back. And then at that point, if you're getting 15, say you're getting like 15, 4, and 4, off the bench at, I don't know, a couple million dollars for 3 years or something. Yeah, I just,
Yeah, and I think the King, or I'm sorry, not the Kings, but the Celtics would have to just really give up. They would have to add so much for somebody just to get him off their hands. And I feel bad for them because in theory, they're almost better off just keeping him unless there's just somebody really in this free agent class that they have their eye on, whether it be like a Steven Adams or, you know, not a Steven Adams, but maybe there's somebody that they really like. I just don't really think it's that much of a win-win, even if they found somebody to take him and you gave up all of your draft picks this year in this draft, which they could easily do because really they're a team that don't really need all those draft picks anyway. But I think for them, where they're at, if even if Hayward's coming off the bench, that's still like, if he's off the bench and healthy, that's still solid production for them, especially when they're kind of in a win now type of construction situation, because I know the seat for Brad Stevens is getting a little hot. So I would even think at their where they're at, they're almost better off just go running it back, because you really have no other choice unless there you think you could really get a suitable replacement.
Yeah, my thoughts I don't know how many times I've mentioned this now. If I'm Boston, I am making a swap for Gordon Hayward and Andre Drummond, because it's one of those trades. I think it works for both sides. Cleveland doesn't want to pay Andre Drummond loads of money. I don't know that Boston would, but Boston desperately needs a big, and you desperately need someone that can rebound, and the best rebounder in the game is Andre Drummond. So if you bring him in, I think you might be willing to pay him if it means you've got a big to go with these young guys. And so, I mean, the Kemba Walker conversation is a whole other thing, but Boston's going to run it back. Boston's going to try to make it work. And the only way that they're even going to have a chance to make it work is if you add a big. And I think Cleveland needs wing depth. We talked about Chetty Osman and Kevin Porter Jr. Apart from that, you got Dylan Windler. I do like Dylan Windler, but let's be real. It's not really happening there. So bringing someone in like Gordon Hayward's going to give you some depth. He's going to give you some experience to try and maybe help Chetty and even Kevin Porter Jr. Develop a little bit and just give them some advice, I guess. I don't know. And then when his contract expires, you're not going to be paying him. Like, he's not going to be asking for Andre Drummond money. I think he's going to be, there's only so much he can get. So I think that's the kind of deal that works out for both sides. I don't know if you're going to see any picks or sweeteners from one side or the other, but I very much think that Drummond's value is like, I don't know. And I don't know how high that value is. I think both sides just need to be a little realistic with where they're at with both of these guys. And I think it would just be a good swap for both teams, and you can just, you know, move forward.
Yeah. I think at least Cleveland, I bet if you're Cleveland, you could be like, all right, Boston, give me 14. And I bet Boston would still do that, right?
Yeah, maybe. To be honest, I don't know. The only the reason I don't know is because you're going to have to pay Andre Drummond if you want to keep him around. And I feel like if you're going to bring him in as Boston and test that experiment, I don't know if they are 100% that it'll work and that he's the big that will be the answer to their problems.
Yeah, that's I'm glad we don't have to really worry about that, because that's not very encouraging moving forward if you have to hope and pray Andre Drummond is going to be a functional piece in your starting unit. We've already done that. It doesn't work. Not with Drummond, but with Jordan. I kind of review
right.
Jordan and Drummond. They're kind of like kindred spirits. So just, you know, any Boston Celtics fans that think that he's the answer, he's not. He would be an okay guy to bring off the bench, like in a bogey role. And that's very sad that he's been kind of
regulated to that type of role. But I mean, we've talked about this now. The Twin Towers, option doesn't work. And Drummond, unfortunately, is a dinosaur that's nearly extinct in this league. So just FYI. But Lauren, that's pretty much everything I think we have. We killed it again, as always. But as a special treat, tease this for a little bit now. Before, as we're wrapping up, got a nice little, it's about 3 to 4 minute audio. Want to give a special shout out to our good friend in the locker room app that was able to facilitate this, David Fatogi. He was able to hook this up and basically facilitate a kind of Q&A in the locker room app, where I was able to present a question to the former Dallas Maverick great Zaza Pachulia. And basically I asked, you know, Zaza directly, you know, his favorite Dirk moments. He shared like a favorite, you know, a bad moment, and then actually a very short story where he actually met Dirk in Georgia. So sit back and enjoy, and peace out.
Oh, wow. Okay, I have a good one and a bad one. So good one is when I was in Dallas, when I played with him, he dropped 40 points and against Portland. And that was young Dirk right there. I mean, he showed us, man, it was amazing. How old was he? He was almost 40. He dropped 40, man. It was crazy. Like at that age, just for him and for his size to score 40 points, that looked like young Dirk right there. Bad moment was, I'm sure everybody remembers, when he was backpedaling on defense, and then he tricked on the half court line, I think. And he tried he tried to stay on the feet, and like finally he fall in a 3 second area. That was hilarious. Like, I love it. By the way, he visited me in Georgia last summer. We had a blast.
What was Dirk like in Georgia? Where'd you take him?
He thought he would come to Georgia, nobody would recognize him, and he would just like feel the freedom, and you know, everybody loves Dirk, right? Let's be honest. Especially being 7 footer, it's hard not to recognize him, right? And notice him in the street. So he thought like he'd come to Georgia and just get crazy, enjoy the retirement. Finally, after 20 something years later, he's retired, so he doesn't need to worry about basketball. But man, like they show him, Georgians show him a lot of love, and he had a great time. He stayed with 2 weeks, came with whole family, beautiful family, his wife and 3 kids. And we just explored. We just had a lot of wine. We went to wine side of Georgia. We went to the mountains. We went to the Black Sea.
How did he think he was going to escape the famous life with you in Georgia? Far the most famous Georgian ever to live.
But yeah, I don't know about that. But you know, he was nice and nice and sweet, man. We had a blast. But one bad thing about the trip that he convinced me that I had to retire too.
This conversation is over. I'm done talking to you. Hit my music. I'm out of here.